Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
dismounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and this is ADDIA.media. Today is Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2015. And tonight it is Marilyn Weiss. It is the day after her birthday. Happy birthday, Marilyn.
Thank you.
That being said, our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. Everybody, the United States made good last month, but we still need your help and support to make sure the ship gets to New York. They're about $400,000 short of that goal, and we need to keep up the good work. So if you have donated, please consider donating just a bit more to help this great ship get to New York, because that's where the plans are to have this great ship renovated to be a hotel and working museum, hopefully working so that we can actually sail on her. Anyway, that being said, Marilyn, happy birthday, girl. Tell us all about the birthday. What number did you run into? Never mind, did you have fun running into the number? That's the question.
Yeah. Did I what now?
Did you have fun running into the number?
Yes. And, the family, you know, well, my friends, treated me, fixed me dinner and stuff. It was real nice. We had fun. Listening to music, dancing, everything like that. It was fun. You know, really enjoyed it. Now they call me 52 B-52 Bomber. So, you know.
Your birthday weekend started off with a delivery.
Yes, I got a major birthday present from the Department of Veterans Affairs. They, gave me a very nice birthday gift. Now, mind you, I'm receiving 100% for my disability, and I'm still getting more Montes from Veterans Affairs. So I know that a lot of veterans are being told that, oh, well, you know, you can't get any more money from Veterans Affairs once you reach 100%. But I'm a living example. That's not a true statement. You know, you can't get no higher money for the particular disability in which you're receiving 100% for, but you can get more money. Because as long as you have percentages from other disabilities, then yes, you would put your claim in for it. Put your claim in for the disability, for the increases. And that's, you'll get like a lump sum, but still. Lump sum at once, I mean, you know, can help you during this time of holidays. You're trying to buy gifts for the kids and pay rent, and you get a lump sum like I just got up in the thousands. You're gonna really be feel pretty good about that. You know, you really are gonna feel good about receiving that. So, I mean, and that's what I look at. I never give up on receiving my benefits. I don't accept no. I keep pressing on. So, and while I'm here and have you guys' attention, I have been, I know those people that have, those are the folks that have been listening to me, over the years, over the last couple of years, I've been saying that if a veteran spouses, if the veteran receives 100%, that their spouse can receive medical care at the VA hospital, not through Champus, but regular VA. But now, since that has been suspended because the VA can no longer do that because they cannot, right now, they can't even provide care for veterans, and the fact that they have to send veterans out to outsources in the civilian, then no, they cannot be they cannot continue that service, and they've also stopped Champus appointments. If you have a Champus. Champ VA, I'm sorry. If you have Champ VA, they're no longer scheduling appointments for you guys either, because they cannot afford to treat the veterans. So that's why that has too been suspended. So if you're used to getting Champ VA treatments through the doctors and things of that nature, that has too been canceled, been suspended for the same reason. So just throw that, pass that information on. That was the latest news and coming out. But like I said, if you have a thing in, if you have claim in and you receive 100%, then you still put the increases in for the other stuff. You know, as usual, you have to do a paper trail and everything. So. You have to do a paper trail. I mean, you have to still show the condition is disabling to you.
Correct. Chronic to deteriorating. Chronic to deteriorating.
Right. So one of the ways you show that is by going back to the going back to the, I go into the emergency room for treatment, walk-in treatment and stuff like that. A lot of times, just going to the doctor is not going to cut the mustard. It's not going to do it. Because it doesn't show the condition has gotten worse. So, especially when your time amounts that you see your physician has went from a month. And when you've been seeing the doctor for once a month, now all of a sudden you see him twice a month, you're seeing the doctor every 3 months, right there tells me that your condition has improved. So you have to, you know, you got to keep doing things different than seeing a doctor all the time. So that's, you know, if you're wondering why you're not getting your increases, that's probably a good reason why you're not. You have any questions for me, Dr. George? You said you wanted to talk about something. They would do the call in number.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Navy Yard call in number is 347-884-8078. 347-884-8078. The Brooklyn, the Senate bill, the Save the Benefits Act for elderly and veterans, that's currently on the floor. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Marilyn?
What he's talking about is Social Security is giving one-time cost of living adjustments to persons receiving Social Security benefits. It's a one-time because we didn't get a cost of living raise. It's a one-time, I believe it's $500 cost of living adjustment. You would have to go to your local Social Security office to try to retrieve these benefits. I believe that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is the one. It's been on the news and stuff, but yes, you have to contact your local Social Security office.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it also affects us because it's also for the veterans who are on compensation. So we are linked with the program as well because it would give us that. And what we are asking for, what I'm asking for, is a little bit more continuation from our listeners and those in the sound of our voice to support it by calling their senators to ask for them to give support to pass this important piece of legislation. We can all use an additional $500. I know I can. You know, I certainly would not be complaining if this money were to be given. And the president has said that if it gets through unadulterated, he would sign it. So let's try to get it through. We can get a bipartisan effort on this bill. It's like I said, there are no real friends and no real enemies. If you don't know who your senators and legislatures, congressman or congresswoman is, then you need to call the Congress. Give the Capitol operator your zip code, and they will be glad to direct you to the congressman, senator, or the House or Senate committee that you want to talk to, because they're dual committees on both sides. They have House and Senate, and both have the same committees that mirror each other. So you have to talk to both sides. You have two senators for every state, one for your congressperson. Normally, unless you're in D.C. and then you have nothing. That being said, yeah, that being said, that being said, yeah, that being said, I want to. I want to go back to the show and just make sure that we get the folks to. If you want to call, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. But I want to get back to the show because that benefit would be nice. But the thing is that I'm sure Marilyn has other benefits to share with us, too.
Well, not only that, but that applies if you're not a D.C. resident. You can't do that. Okay. He's talking about contacting your whatever, your senator. Yeah, that's fine as long as you're not a D.C. resident. We can't do that. He can do it, but we can't.
Well, that's why on ADVIA we do what? We call for statehood for the District of Columbia.
That's good if you don't live in D.C. Anybody else, you can call your senators and congressmen. We don't have one, so we can't do that.
You're at the point. You have to be hopeful that they will give you a courtesy. That doesn't work well because they will tell you in a heartbeat, I'm only seeing people from my district.
Yeah. So that's only if you're not a DC. We don't have none of them people, so we can't say anything. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't do that call. I can't call. So he's talking to those non-DC residents. Like himself.
No, I used to do the politicking a little different in D.C.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Living there and having access, I would go to their offices and meet them.
Works if you do. Most of us brothers and sisters ain't going through that. Okay, now that's that.
So
somebody desperately wants to talk to you.
I know what time it is, too.
But,
so I don't answer phones at this time of day.
Yeah. A lot of stuff that's available to our counterparts does not count for D.C. residents. So, but anyway, moving right along. So that's it. That was the main thing. I like to say this to veterans. Since we know that the VA is scared to find some of their top, their doctors and people that mistreat veterans, they don't want to hold them accountable for their actions. There's now a place that you as the veteran can go. I learned this after an ER doctor spit in my face. I learned this because DCVA said they can't do anything to the doctor. But I made an official complaint with the DC License Report for the doctors. So anytime you got any complaint against the Veterans Affairs doctor, and if your VA is anything like the Washington, D.C. VA, you don't stand a ghost chance. There's no representation for the veterans. So none. And I filed a complaint with the D.C. License Board. And whether the D.C. Licensure Board does anything to Dr. Manfredi. She's an attending in the Washington, D.C. ER, Washington, D.C. VA. You know, she refused me treatment for a female technician to do a chest x-ray. But as the end result was, I got a $275 ticket. This woman spit in my dad. She pulled a drill sergeant move. But had I reacted in a negative way, I would be in D.C. jail. But the VA says nothing they can do to this particular physician for that. So I wrote her up with the D.C. Medical Board. So these are things that, because the way I wanted to handle them was very unchristian-like. But I turned it over to the people that can fight for me. Because we don't always have to resort into negative activity. I mean, even though the thought is very great there. So if you're having issues like this, you can have action taken on your behalf. There's people out there.
There are other avenues.
They would do what the VA refused to do. We have a right to privacy. We have a right to not be mistreated. We have that right. But if you don't know who to turn to when the VA hospital won't help you. And so because I really believe the VA kind of condones this type of behavior, because if they didn't, it wouldn't be allowed to happen. You know, it should never be allowed. You know, you're in a situation where the veteran is afraid to come for care because staff or just very uncertain. You know, I had a horrible experience there. And I know this holiday season, a lot of us veterans gonna have issues, you know, with loneliness and depression. But if you can't go there for help, you screwed. You don't have, you know, there's no one. I mean, I don't feel that, you know, I can go to my local, I will not. So that's one of the issues we're going through, but it's a benefits issue when it affects you getting the treatment that you need to support your claim for benefits. So that's why I'm bringing it. I probably took other actions, but I'm going to see how this is going to turn out for me. I'm going to see how this is going to turn out, you know. And if anybody know anything about this kind of stuff, like, because this is going to, like I said, it's going to be an issue for a lot of veterans, because during the holiday season, a lot of us do suffer with depression. A lot of us don't have family members of that nature. But if you can't go,
sometimes at the end of the month, when Thanksgiving comes, they may not have food.
Right,
you know?
And that's right, and that can cause the veteran to be, you know, depressed, angry, suicidal, any of this stuff, you know. So I just think that you know, the VA should be held more accountable for their actions. George, we have to call you after the show. And so, you know, it's just sad that when you need help, the people that's supposed to be there, well, we're here to help you, line. You know. And you know, and everybody's talking about PTSD and PTSD. But when you got I mean, it's sad when they don't even take in consideration that female veterans have military sexual trauma or have been in a domestic violence relationship, but they still want to put you in an unsafe environment. Like they tell us, well, you know, when you feel this way, come into the hospital. And you come to the hospital, they'll admit you because you're not safe to yourself, but then they're going to put you in unsafe, dangerous dangerous situation, and you're saying that you don't feel safe, you don't feel safe, and you have military sexual trauma, has no barrier, and they don't care. They go deaf on you when you tell them this. And that happened to me 2 weeks ago. So if anybody listening know that how I can get help to get my issues dealt with, I'd greatly appreciate you calling into the show at 347-884-8078. You know, because this is utterly ridiculous. And so in the comment, Dr. George, because...
No, it's true. Hold on, we have a caller. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. I think you're having technical difficulties.
Oh,
because I've been calling and couldn't get in. And how are you fine people today?
Oh, we're fine. Mm-hmm. We just was talking about how it is that it's just so unsafe to go to VA when you're in crisis or when you need help. It is so unsafe because... you know, they're supposed to be there to help us. And if they're not helping you, then, you know, at our VA, I was talking to the chief of psychiatry, but he can't guarantee that I can be put on a medical unit for my safety if I'm admitted. You know, so I said, well, you know, none of y'all got to worry about me coming there if I'm in a crisis. But I'm so sick of y'all getting out here and telling these veterans that they can come to their local VA for help, and we there for you, knowing damn well you ain't. You know,
why did he make that statement?
What?
That he can't guarantee your safety if you go on the medical ward.
I have no idea, and I'm like, you're the chief. You can override this woman, but I said I'm not going to keep my safety come first, and that's the fucking bottom line.
Right.
In my mouth, but that's the bottom line. And it's just sad, you know, you're in this by yourself. And then, like I said, by this being the holiday season, you think they'd be trying to help us. You know, you really would
be.
I would. So but when I was on the unit 2 weeks ago, which... we got to call that person back, Dr. George, Mr. Martin. We got to call him because the problem is not fixed as far as the female's bathroom on the unit. It's not secured. They assured that they had fixed that. That bathroom is not secured.
You've seen it.
I used it.
Okay.
And I told him, yeah. So... And I don't want to feel like a dog where I got to use the bathroom and the floor of the room here for somebody going to come in there and rape me. You know, I'm bringing all this out today. You know, I know the main topic is supposed to be that. We in the holiday season, a lot of veterans in the D.C. area, you know, may need to come in.
My little cousin.
And you're going to...
And this is something that we've been working on for a minute now. So we have to update people. And if you've been there to see it for yourself and use it and know that nothing has been done in 2 years since we've been on the air, then it's time. It's time. This is a damn shame.
Now they're talking about how they going to have to close the unit down, put it on, burn it down. burn it down. I don't care how you do it. But, you know, burn the bitch. Because, I mean, that's the whole... Yeah, but then you got people that are supposed to say, well, you know, we're going to help. We're here to help you. You're not helping me. You know.
Sending me home with dead bugs and...
You know, when I commit suicide, when it comes to the point where I've committed suicide when I could have actually went in for help, you know, then you're going to want to fix the problem. It's too damn late. It's too late for that.
It takes a tragedy to change things.
You know, but like I said, you know, it takes tragedy any type of help.
Yeah, tragedy makes things.
Huh?
Yeah. Only when they have a tragedy they make a change.
And I ain't but one veteran, so what? Who cares?
It shouldn't be taken like that.
Well, I ain't but one veteran. What do they care? I ain't but one veteran in amongst of another, in amongst of other veterans.
Man.
Then they filmed me in the room changing clothes. That's the second time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if the VA, if the D.C. Veterans Affairs Police Department can sue them for filming them in their locker rooms, I should be able to sue for filming me in the damn patient room.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, it's the seclusion room, which the camera's supposed to be on, but you're supposed to let the veteran know that that camera is working.
It's being filmed, yeah.
Especially if you're going to keep them in there. They wanted me to go to another room, but I said no, because... I'm not going to keep putting myself at greater risk of taking bed bugs. Let me stay in one bed bug infested area. Do not keep rotating me all over that room at a higher risk of getting bed bugs, lice, or whatever they are. You know, no. If I knew I was leaving that day anyway, you know, it's a shame that you got to lie to get out of there because it's so unsafe. I didn't get the help I need. Oh. If I'm a danger to others, I was in a safe area, but the Dr. Neptune, who is the chief of the inpatient psychiatrist, felt up to do otherwise to put me in a safe environment, to put me in an unsafe, hazardous environment against my will. But who am I? I ain't nobody. And my voice I don't have a voice. I don't have a nickel in that dime. I ain't got shit. I don't have no rights. I don't have a right to be safe. I don't have a right to be in a safe environment. But yet still, if I'm feeling unsafe, you're going to put me in an unsafe environment. How does that help me? It only makes it worse. But I'm just one veteran. I don't have no say-so in my care. I keep telling y'all veterans, you don't have no say-so or no rights in the VA healthcare system. And Lord help you if you got a mental disorder or you on the mental ward, you don't have no rights. None. Mm. You know, I mean, this is just too, you know, it's just... You know, it's just real...
You want a little bit further on the time? You
no.
want a little further on the time?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
This is...
Well, so it is the day before Thanksgiving. We will have a Thanksgiving Day show. So we will be back tomorrow, the usual time, 4 p.m. And I want to thank everybody. We had a momentous occasion today. As we speak this morning, we crossed 30,000 likes on Facebook. We wouldn't be able to be here without you, and we're very glad that you guys have supported us to this point. So until tomorrow, folks, we will see you then. Get the parachute, folks. Looks like we're headed in. And see, there it is. I'm going to go to the next one.
All about self.
Hold it.